premium income to losses and expenses without any allowance being made for an investment income. But the bad years have been succeeded by good years, and insurance companies have continued to grow in size and strength. Even in the bad years, when the loss ratio plus expenses exceeded premium income, the investment income has, in most every instance, offset operating losses. So the net result has not been a losing year. However, under the new concept of the insurance companies, and I mean so many of the large ones as I gave examples of before, merely a part of a group of financial institutions, top management of the holding company is going to take a second look at insurance company operations all by themselves. If they continue to lose money on operations year after year, it is entirely possible that top management will say, let us get out of this insurance business. We have tremendous amounts of capital and surplus which we can invest and earn our income from those investments, and why pour part of that income down the rat hole on profitable insurance underwriting? That is the part of the picture which gives me some concern. I mentioned in my letter to you, this is something that is rather far down the line for another 15 or 20 years, perhaps. And if we would see a sizable number of insurance companies retiring from the business, it would make the situation even more difficult than it is at the present time. Even now, the insurance markets of the world are sorely strained to provide the coverage which industry needs. And in recent years, there have been no real increases in capacity in the insurance market, whereas the needs of business are crying for more insurance all the time. In London, the underwriting results have not been good about 3 out of the last 5 years, and getting more difficult all the time to interest any new underwriters in becoming members at Lloyd's, especially because of the tax situation as it exists in Britain. You have a comparatively wealthy man who is already in a 70 or 80% tax bracket, and you want to interest him in becoming a member at Lloyd's, reaction is most often negative, because he will say that he has very little to gain and may possibly suffer substantial losses, and so why should he get into that kind of a situation? Our own Marsh & McLennan office here in Los Angeles, we have at least 8 large accounts which are not completely covered as to their third-party liability insurance needs. The Department of Water and Power wants to carry third-party liability coverage up to a total amount of $75 million. This is placed in a number of separate layers, such as a $1 million primary, another excess layer of $4 million, another excess layer of $10 million, another layer of $20 million, another layer of $25 million, etc. Within many of those layers, we do not have 100% coverage, although we have searched the entire insurance market of the world. So account remains uninsured, the various layers. You contemplate the supersonic jets which will be coming into within another 2 or 3 years from now, the insurance situation becomes rather serious because the plane itself is going to be worth about $20 million and the third party liability, including passenger liability, come up to another $50 million, and I really have some grave doubts as to whether or not insurance markets of the world are going to be interested in taking a chance on one plane crash that would involve a $75 million loss. general adverse situation in the insurance business has brought about by the fact that rates on practically all types of business past 15, 20, or 20 years have been reduced and reduced and reduced because of competition. And until those rate levels are substantially increased, the insurance companies as a group are not going to see profitable operations results. If additional venture capital cannot be found to enter into insurance companies, and the insurance markets continue to decline in capacity instead of providing an increase in capacity, which industry, not only in this country but all over the world, direly needs. The matter of capacity doesn't affect individual buyer as far as his home and automobile and so forth is concerned. It's a very serious thing for the really big business, and since business is getting bigger all the time, the problem is compounded. I know that you are interested in the Martian McLennan aspect of the insurance industry, but you will have to realize, as I know you do, that we are insurance brokers and not insurance companies. To a certain degree, we might benefit as a result of tight insurance markets, since the buyer will have to pay more for his insurance. Since our income is based on a percentage of premium, it is conceivable that our commissions would rise accordingly. Although it is not all a healthy or desirable situation so far as we are concerned, see our commission percentage or commissions increased as a result of more dollars having to be paid by our clients. We would much preserve to have a more orderly market where we get along very nicely by doing an expert job of arranging insurance needs of our clients a reasonable and economical manner. We had the insurance markets available to do the job in that way. At this point, I might divert to mention that all of the foregoing thoughts have to do with the property and casualty end of the business. They're not to be in any way related to the life insurance end of the business, because the life insurance companies and the accident health insurance companies are not subject to adverse operating results, since they are working on established mortality and experience tables. And as a matter of fact, we are seeing more and more life insurance companies coming into being these days than ever before. I do not know just how many life insurance companies there are currently in existence in the United States, but it runs into the many thousands. I think that in the state of Arizona alone, there are something like 700 life insurance companies organized in that state. There are also a great many companies with organizations in Texas. And all of these, of course, are above the hundreds of the old and better established life insurance companies of New York and New England, Illinois, California, etc. That pretty well sums up general and somewhat vague ideas that I have about insurance business is going to be like if we look down the road for the next 10 to 20 years. It's entirely possible that there will have to be some sort of participation by our government or other governments in the insurance business in order to gain the capacity that may be required. There is an historic interest, there's an historic instance government getting into the insurance business, because when the Queen Mary was built originally 30 years ago, the entire insurance market did not provide the $30 million cover which was needed on that vessel. As I remember it, I think that private insurance companies all over the world underwrote a total of around $22 million. And that the British government then had to underwrite the $8 million balance. We also have our own government in the insurance business so far as nuclear plants are concerned. The private insurance companies provide coverage on the direct damage to property and on the third-party liability, a total of around $350 million. And then the government provides excess coverage up to $1.5 billion. Everyone in our insurance business wants the government into it in an active part for reasons that I think are as obvious to you as they are to me. If we see that insurance business as a private industry is not going to take care of the needs of business itself, then some sort of participation by the government will be necessary. I have listened back on a portion of the foregoing. I find that I have been turning the microphone off and on as I've gone along and in order to collect my thoughts. And so the clicks that you hear in and out of the words are instances where I've turned off the microphone and then have turned it on again. I find that I maybe should have a little bit more practice in using this machine, since obviously as I click the microphone back on after a pause, it does not immediately pick up the first part of the first word or two. And so I will have to get a little practice of remembering to flick the switch on and then pause for a second or so before doing any more dictating. Now, getting back to a few of the social or personal items, I mentioned in the very beginning a while ago that we are in the middle of one of the worst rainstorms we have had in several years, and there are no indications that we'll let up anytime before tomorrow morning. We are especially fortunate right here in our little house in being more or less on the top of a rise, and so we are not finding any water damage around it at all, or as Hal has said, as yet. Although our garage floor is pretty well soaked since the rain coming in from the back service porch, correction, the back service yard, flows through garage at any time we have heavy rain, since we have only mud sills there and no real foundation. There just isn't anything on the floor out there to be hurt, and so not worried about that. At this immediate moment, I'm sitting here in the living room, and Hal has just Chrissy out to do her business. And in the heavy rain, and Hal seems quite pleased because she has observed that Chrissy has done both types of jobs and should now be ready to come in the house and stay for another few hours. It is now 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, and about an hour ago the sun came out beautifully, and I hope that this storm is about over and that we will have the chance to let all of this rain sink into the ground and everyone who has a lot of yard other damage the chance to get dried out and straightened up. We have no actual damage at all. The only thing is that the garage is still quite wet, but with a sunshiny morning and another couple of hours, that should all be dried out and in good shape. Our gardener had put some manure on the front lawn a week ago last Thursday, so it now looks like a hay field. With that fertilizer and all the rain we've had, it has certainly spurted along. I hope that the ground will be sufficiently dry for him to cut both the front and the back lawn when he comes on Tuesday. I think this is about time to wind this record up. There is no other news to report, so I will try to mail down to you tomorrow. Both hope that you had a trip to Eureka, although from what we could hear about the weather from time to time, that was a bit on the rugged side. Everything for now to you and Joe and all the family.